Satan's Chapel by Samuel Milton Vernon. Amusements in the Light of Reason, History, and Revelation, 1882. We find that as a matter of fact, the good and the holy of all times have pronounced the theatre to be disgraceful. We can trace the theatre to a definite beginning in the feasts of Bacchus, 500 years before Christ, from which time, hand in hand with the wine god, its first lover and lifelong companion, it has journeyed through the world, spreading demoralization and desolation on every hand. We consider it to be the devil's most successful scheme for destroying the morals of the culture. The theater, the saloon, and the brothel are the three confederate tempting devils of civilization, seeking to despoil the flower of humanity. The theater insinuates lust, murder, theft, hypocrisy, and profligacy upon overworked and sensitive minds under the name of amusement and recreation. It inoculates our fairest sons and daughters with the most deadly poisons, corrupting personal purity, destroying domestic happiness, and dishonoring the sanctuary of home under the guise of entertainment. It has proven to be a school of vice and the home of debauchery under the name of recreation. It is black with the curses of the souls it has ruined, infamous for the social impurities it has nursed into life, and abhorred by everyone who studies its work of degradation and destruction. We are now to examine the character of this ancient institution, whose whitened locks, as it stands before us clad in the robes of its own history, must awaken our veneration, were it not for the blood spots on its hands, the demon leer in its eye, and the foul odors from its filthy clothing, proclaiming it one of the vile monsters that still lingers on the earth, because mankind have not had virtue enough to exterminate it. From the days of Athens until now, the wise and good have not ceased to bewail the demoralizing effects of the theater. Throughout history, Christian people have always been at war against Satan's chapel, the theater. Plato says, "The diversions of the theater are dangerous to the temper and sobriety of mind. They rouse the feelings of passion and sensual desire too much. Tragedy is prone to render men unfeeling, and comedy makes them buffoons. Thus, those passions are cherished which ought to be checked. Virtue loses ground, and reason becomes uncertain." Aristotle says, "The law ought to forbid young people the seeing of comedies until they are proof against debauchery." Solon, the wisest of the Greeks and their lawgiver, forbade theatrical exhibitions as pernicious to the popular mind. Cicero says, "The theater exists on lewdness." Seneca, the great heathen moralist, says, "Nothing is so injurious to good morals as theatres, for then vice makes an insensible approach and steals upon us in the disguise of pleasure." Mr. Wilberforce, known and honoured wherever freedom unfurls her banner, affirms, "The debauchee, the sensualist, the profane, have ever found in the theatre their chosen resort for enjoyment." He asks, "How can a virtuous mind seek pleasure in such a place, amid such companions, and from such persons as the actors and actresses are generally known to be?" Pollock says, "The theatre was, from the very first, the favourite haunt of sin, though honest men maintained that it might be turned to good account. And so perhaps it might, but never was. From first to last, it was an evil place. And now such things are acted there as make the demons blush. In 1778, Congress passed a law providing for the dismissal of any officer of the United States who was found in attendance upon a theater. Soon after the Declaration of Independence, the following resolution was adopted by Congress. Whereas true religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness, resolved that it be, and hereby earnestly recommended to the several states, to take the most effective measures for the suppression of theatrical entertainments, horse racing, gambling, and such other diversions as are productive of idleness, dissipation, and general depravity of principles and manners. Augustine calls the theatre a cage of immorality and a public school of debauchery. Tillotson, speaking of the conduct of certain parents, says, "They are such monsters, I had almost said devils, as not to know how to give their children good things. Instead of bringing them to God's church, they bring them to the devil's chapels, playhouses, places of debauchery, those schools of lewdness and vice." If we may accept the testimony of those most to be trusted, the theatre grows worse rather than better as it grows older, a strong indication that its character is essentially bad. To consent to look upon vice without a protest against it is the first step to moral degeneracy. Editor's note: I wonder what the author would say about much of today's entertainment.